move on to uncontested items, and we have a number of them listed here. I can tell you that we are already going to pull number 6, so that is not going to be dealt with by fiat. It's going to be discussed later, so we're pulling 6. Probably won't get to it till after lunch, okay? And before we launch into a discussion of what else might get pulled, Mr. Rose, I have a card from you, but I don't know what item you want to... 10, item 10. Okay. They've been holding out on me here. Okay. Okay, well... Okay, 17, 18, 17, 6, 10. All right, so let me ask the board, is there anything on the uncontested items calendar that you have questions of or would like to see pulled? Dr. Hunter?
Yeah, I have just some brief questions. I don't want to pull anything.
Okay.
It has to do more with kind of consistency and formatting. I notice in the NPDES staff reports, which I feel, you know, keep continuously improving in the organization presentation for us, but one thing I'm not clear on is I don't see, for example, in either the wastewater or in the oil and water treatment plants. Is there an assumption that an NPDES is tertiary treated? Because I don't see that. I did look through the fact sheet in some other areas. I didn't find it easily. And, for example, you know, type of treatment is listed, of course, on the front page, and for item 10, as an example, it gives you the technical description of what the process involves, but it doesn't say to what level it's treated. And so I was just curious if NPDES is automatic tertiary treatment.
No.
So that would be something that would be helpful to me to see pulled out. It may be that it's in here somewhere, and I did seek it out, and I didn't find it. So. Doesn't mean it's not there.
Which number would you like?
Well,
I think, Dr. Hunter, you're asking in the future that
yes.
we make it crystal clear what level of treatment a
right.
permit is going to permit.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. It's 10 is my example, but I noticed across all of the wastewater and oil and gas produced water treatment facilities. The other question I have is, and this may be just a point for me to get better informed on, but I don't see the difference between the freshwater and seawater discharge. So some of these that we have in consent are discharging to creeks, and some of them are discharging to ocean water. And it may be helpful for us to see that as a paragraph that just describes the ocean plan criteria, which I know are very different than criteria to freshwater, and that would be helpful to me to start to get that into my kind of overview of how these ongoing, or not ongoing, but how these systems function within the different freshwater, seawater environments. And the last thing I wanted to raise was for item 11. I was just curious, this may be, I don't think it's a hugely significant change, but in the staff report, this facility, which is the Summerland Sanitary District, is noted at 0.3 million gallons per day. But when I came to the schematic, which is attachment C, C1, which is produced by the Summerland Sanitary District, it shows a maximum daily flow of 0.5 million gallons per day. So I thought there should be some clarification on the discrepancy of our details on the plant and what the plant itself reports and describes?
Would you like staff to come forward and answer that question for you?
Sure. If we can do that quickly. I don't think it's a hugely...
It may be permitted flow versus design flow.
Yeah. Okay.
Board, this is Peter Van Lingen, Water Board
Hi,
staff.
Peter. Hi.
I believe it is the design flow that was on that schematic that was provided by Summerlin Sanitary District, and the permitted flow is 0.3 million gallons a day.
I see. So the maximum flow of the plant is what its capacity is. Under the permit, is it allowed to operate it?
No, it's only allowed to operate at 0.3 million gallons a day. And Okay. Over the last permit cycle, it was averaging half of that approximately.
Okay. So I think my bottom line comment is to staff is I think across these, because we got a set of them, it was kind of easier to see some of these differences in the way they're presented. Perhaps permitted flow, maximum flow of the system is something that should be listed. I think it is for some and not for others. So that left me wondering, you know, what the differences were in terms of what I was seeing in the attachments. So that might be another formatting
into the face page of the staff
yes.
report or into the table
yeah.
of contents?
No, into the face page, because if you look at some of them do provide
right.
maximum flow as one of the kind of factual information, summary information
okay.
on the top page, and others do not. And so I just wasn't clear on what the differences were.
Yeah, that can be done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. It would be very helpful. Thank you.
Okay. Dr. Hunter, anything else? Any other questions you have on the uncontested items calendar? Okay. Bruce, let's go down the line.
All right. This will be very quick on item 10. I appreciate response from staff on this and other items. On this particular item, staff said in their response that there would be some changes. So do we just assume those changes happen? Or?
Sorry, say that one more time.
On item 10, the Freeport-McMoRan oil and gas MPDES or water discharge requirement order, there was going to be some language removed regarding some confusing text. And
Harvey has a comment to make on this.
Harvey Packard, we can either show you that text as right now before you vote on the whole slate, or we can remove that from the agenda.
Why don't we remove it? Because I know that Dr. Wolf had some questions also, and there is a speaker card here on number 10. So let's pull that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So number 10 is going to be pulled off the uncontested items calendar. Any other questions, Bruce?
No.
Okay, Dr. Wolf.
First on item 9, a couple of brief questions. And this relates to the recycling water. And the intent here is a focus on the golf course. And my question is, in this community, if they have looked at other opportunity of recycling. You know, the golf course is sort of a low-hanging fruit, but in this community, I'm sure there's going to be some green spaces, et cetera. So that's one question that I have.
Tom?
I actually have a representative of the community here. If you'd rather hear from him directly.
Excellent. Thank you.
So could you tell me again, you were asking about green spaces?
Yeah, right now the recycled water is to be used for the golf course,
correct?
As I understand. So my question is, are there other opportunities for the recycled water beyond the golf course in that community?
No, there's none permitted or being asked for at this time. Right now, we're trying to maintain enough supply for the golf course, and we seem to have a ways to go, so we use it all.
Okay. And then my last question is from previous presentation and discussion we had with other permits of recycled water in communities and expanding of their treatment facility, the issue of water softener has, you know, been brought up increasingly. So with this recycle program, do you have a mechanism to handle also water softening devices with the anticipation of the expansion of a community?
Well, we have a, I guess our best way of dealing with salts is that what we use on the golf course is mixed with runoff from the golf course. So it's kind of a large catch basin that brings everything to 125 acres of lined ponds. And the mixture, right now we produce maybe 5 million gallons a year out of the reclaim plant. So the mixture is quite dilute by rainwater.
Okay.
I'd like to add.
Sure.
This is Tom Kuchel, staff engineer, and one thing to consider about this development is there's one home on average per 66 acres. So the salt loading per home is not going to be as great as other communities where you maybe have one home per half acre or such or less. So, and as Leif mentioned, we have a very large catchment area that also collects stormwater and then dilutes the wastewater. So the stormwater, I believe, has less than 300 milligrams per liter TDS. It's very low, and it dwarfs the wastewater contribution, so we get a lot of dilution out there.
All right. Thank you for the clarification.
And we need the gentleman to identify himself. Yes.
Yeah, my name is Leif Udegaard. I'm the water system and wastewater system operator at the preserve.
Correct.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions, Dr. Wolf?
A brief one on item 16.
16, okay. Howard, pay attention.
And my question is, when looking at establishing the TMDL for nitrates, how does it compare to other watersheds? I mean, do we have a consistency across all watersheds on the targets, or is this a little bit more customized? And as I read through, I couldn't answer that question to myself.
Howard Kolb, staff on the project. You mean in terms of the actual numeric target set of 10?
Yes.
No, that's a standard number. That's out of our basin plan. That's the drinking water quality objective.
Okay.
And that's used for all nitrate TMDLs across the board.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Jeffries, any item to be pulled or discussed?
No.
No? Mr. Jordan.
Thank you.
Okay.
I just have a couple questions on number 15.
Okay.
On the TMDL there for boron.
Okay.
I think they're more education questions than anything else, but the anti-degradation policy, does that also affect us to act when the source is natural and not man-made?
This is Pete Osmolowski, Water Board TMDL program. The basin plan states that non-controllable sources are not subject to the anti-degradation policy or to, you know, permitting to control that source category. So the answer is no.
Okay, and it looks like you're acknowledging that the by far the greatest majority of the impact is caused by natural sources. And do I read this right that you eventually say that the only way you're going to accomplish delisting this is to basically game those numbers at the end of this process?
That's correct. It will likely be necessary to develop site-specific water quality objectives for boron based on the fact that the natural contributions are such that the existing boron criteria in the basin plan likely won't be able to be achieved because of these non-controllable natural sources.
Okay. And are they truly non-controllable? There's not other alternatives to actually control them, or is it just that's that's just so widespread? And
it's completely widespread throughout the basin. The groundwaters are high in many parts of the basin. The surface waters are high. The soils, the geology is high in boron. It's systematic and pervasive throughout much of the watershed. I don't see any feasible way to control that.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Johnston?
No question.
Okay. Is there any member of the public that wishes to have an item pulled from the uncontested items calendar, except for number 6 and number 10? Those are going to be pulled. Okay. So I will entertain a motion.
Those two items you mentioned, that we approve the non-contested calendar.
Second. I will second.
Okay. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, say no. Okay. Okay. Motion carries. Thank you.